God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There's a lot in the news. Ron DeSantis has launched an investigation into this FEMA director who's been fired. And thank you, FEMA, for firing her. She had put orders in writing that FEMA operatives not help families who had Trump signs in their yard, people who had survived a hurricane. She did this in writing, which indicates to me she thought it was culturally appropriate, because at FEMA, it's probably culturally appropriate, but only behind the scenes. She's been fired, and that's good news. There's also this, and this has not made the news. There's a group in Germany called the Robert Koch Institute. It's a federal agency that looks into infectious diseases and how to stop them. An email leak where they wrote that they didn't want the magical modified RNA injections, which some people still think are vaccines, released prior to the United States election. You remember the last election, not this one that we're just finishing up now. I mean, the one prior. But wait, I thought those were going to save the world. I thought those were the only way out of the lockdowns. They put in writing, doctors, we do not want these things released before the election. Why? Politics. They put it in writing, which means it was culturally okay for them. They didn't feel it was a risky move. Why put something like that in writing? What do those two stories have in common? Fallen institutions. FEMA, of course, fell when they were turned into an organization that houses illegal immigrants instead of helping people who have survived hurricanes and fires, their fallen agency. The Robert Koch Institute fell, I don't know when, but this is a sign that it did, and it's to be expected. We live in a fallen world. But these are institutional things. I need to speak to you about family. A dear loved one of mine and I have been talking about the election. I waited 2 days after the election to send her a note, and I simply said, are you okay? And she wrote back and said no. Her kids are same-sex attracted. She is a woman who works with survivors of rape. She is in favor of abortion. She's not a mad woman in that regard. She's in favor of abortion, but does actually think it should be rare, and I think she believes it is. I love her dearly. And I simply said to her, because she's terrified, that is a heavy load to carry. I remember feeling that way under Barack Obama, which doesn't make it better for you, but it's a heavy load. And she has said to me that she feels that President Trump is the devil, which in one way is good news because she's thinking spiritually. So I'm asking God to guide this conversation. This morning she told me she needed to take a break. I think that's wise. She said she loved me. I appreciate that. I love her dearly. I'm going to fight for this relationship. There's something here I want to share, and I want to share carefully. What she said was she's been vomiting and sleepless because she's trying to square my support for Donald Trump with the man she knows me to be. See, she knows. She knows for a fact that if in fact Trump was the worst example of what people think he is, And my loved one is convinced that he is going to cause violence against same-sex attracted people, and he's going to cause an increase in sexual assaults just by the fact that she considers him a rapist. I consider Joe Biden a rapist. That this is going to lead to more sexual assault. My loved one knows this for a fact. If I was there and someone tried to harm one of her children, if I had to, I would kill that person. And I wouldn't bat an eye. If it meant defending my loved one's kids, I wouldn't bat an eye. I wouldn't hesitate. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take a human life. I could. I would. Likewise, if one of our kids needed both of my kidneys, okay. Okay, I'm 57. I've done a lot. Okay. That's the man she knows me to be. So let's try to square these things. I have said in the program, and I know this is controversial, I don't know if President Trump knows the Lord. No idea. I think there's signs that he does. He believes in God. I think that's clear. Good news is I don't need to know. God does. Likewise, as I made this example, and this is not something I can say to my loved one right now. There is no point. My loved one knows that if I was in a hospital and there was a 13-year-old girl being wheeled into an operating room and there were surgeons there who were going to mutilate her body sexually and chemically and surgically, mutilate her. And they were going to do that. And there were desperate parents outside the hospital screaming, "Don't let them do that. Don't let them do that. She's not a boy. That's our little girl. We love her. Please, oh, please, dear Lord, stop that." I think my loved one knows I would do anything, literally anything, to stop that. I would have to. And this is where our politics has put us. Kamala Harris would have passed an executive order empowering states to steal kids to do that. I would never obey that. I would fight against it. I would happily break that law without a moment of hesitation, because it's ungodly. That's where politics has put us. As government for many has become religion, it's become a thing that has made its way into the bodies of kids. And that for me is a huge step too far. It's a form of madness. I was talking with a very frustrated friend of mine with whom I do business in Seattle. He is aware now of a family whose kid was nearly taken from them when he was five because school teachers had conspired with people at Children's Hospital to convince this boy that he was in fact a girl. CPS got involved and they were on the way to seize the kid, and that family left the state of Washington. And my friend has just become aware of this. And these are friends of his saying, yeah, it happened to us. They're finally opening up about it. Many families hide this because their kids are not yet safe. So he was talking about this online and a psychiatrist came and said, that's not happening. No one's doing that. There's no gender confirmation surgeries for kids at that age. He's wrong. It's a mental illness to choose to be that wrong. On CNN, Jay Mickelson, he's a rabbi. Just the dude lost his mind in this discussion with a guy named Shermichael Singleton. Listen as this panel erupts into chaos when Shermichael Singleton calls men pretending to be women for what they are.
I think there are a lot of families out there who don't believe boys should play girls' sports.
They're not boys. I'm not going to listen to transphobia at this table. I am not going to listen to you call a trans girl a boy.
Are you going to allow me to finish my explanation?
When you use a word that's a slur, I'm going to interrupt. That's not how it is. They're not boys. They're not boys. They're not playing girls' softball. I'm not going to sit there and listen to that.
Let's reset for a second because, look, this is a really heated issue, right? And Sharmichael, I know you. I know that you understand that people have different views on this. I think out of respect for Jay, like, let's try to talk about this in a way that is respectful.
Okay, so let me rephrase this since I'm being targeted here.
I'm specifically saying that I know that you are not intending to be transphobic.
He should know that I want to give you an opportunity to know the way regular people interpret it.
There's no consensus that these are actually boys. This whole thing about trans girls is a canard. We're talking about a tiny, tiny sliver of the population.
That may be the case.
So this alleged rabbi, this alleged rabbi, his name is Jay Michelson. He's also an author and, of course, appears on CNN, as you hear there, is saying there is no consensus that boys are boys. Because that's exactly what he's saying. That's how insane this has become. And it's transphobia to point that out. I have sent the rabbi a note. I've asked him to come on the program. And I've asked him to simply explain this. What are the organic, trackable, readable markers that boy is a girl? What are they? Present them to me. Because in any other case where surgical pharmaceutical intervention is required, or at least surgical, because pharma will give pills to everybody for very little reason. In any other case where surgery is an option, there is an organic marker. You can say, here's the cancerous cell. Here's the torn ACL. Here's the malformed joint. Here is the broken heart valve. The rabbi can't provide that because it does not exist. We're headed into the Christmas season, secular Christmas. An example here. Kids are going to believe in Santa Claus. In the case of trans ideology, the rest of us have to believe. We have to say to kids, no, there is Santa. Even as they're 16 saying, wait, there's no Santa. No one's coming down our chimney. I sat here all night and watched. No, it happened. You just didn't see it. So back to this panel on CNN. When they got to the point of Sharmichael Singleton finally making his point in front of this rabbi, it didn't persuade the rabbi. But there was something else so interesting about this. Sharmichael Singleton is a black man. Jay Michelson is a white man telling a black man to shut up, effectively. Stop saying that boys are boys. I remember a time on CNN that white men did not get to tone police black men, but this is how favored the society of men who believe they're women have become and boys who believe they're girls. This Christmas, as you observe secular Christmas, not observe it. Those of us here follow the Lord Jesus. We recognize it as recognition of the birth of the Savior of mankind. That is, your friends are following this Christmas and you see their kids with secular beliefs. Santa Claus. Remember, there's just as much reason for us to tell kids for the rest of their lives there's a Santa as there is for us to tell kids who are boys that they're actually girls. We'll come back in The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We began in the first segment talking about some of the news and then getting into some of the family relations. Mine. Probably yours. There are a lot of people who are terrified of President Trump. And I've been having this ongoing conversation with a loved one, which is now on pause, her request, wise one, where she's trying to square her family member, who she, I think, knows to be loving and caring and would defend her children to the cost of his own life. And her absolute repugnance at President Trump and her terror of him in office. That's happening to you, too. You might not know it. But there are people who are terrified, and let's have them not be terrified of us. Let's meet every moment here prayerfully in the spirit. No matter how many times you're called a cult member, if you supported President Trump, some of us have no choice. Well, I think legitimately no voter had a choice. Just two candidates that could ever make it in. And I don't want to go back through and relitigate the election. I'd said to you that the Bible is my voter guide. And it doesn't mean that I believe that President Trump is a very godly man. It means that I think that his policies are the most biblical, even if they're uncomfortable. Look, guys, it's going to be uncomfortable if President Trump and Tom Holman, who is now going to be the border czar, can't stand that phrase czar. We shouldn't be using it. If he sends troops into the cities to gather up illegal immigrants, that's going to be very uncomfortable. Now, you could say it's not that much different from SWAT teams and police emphasis and going down and cracking down on the cartels and the ATF. And that's true. There are those incursions where we do use those agencies that way. But it's going to be weird. And it's going to rattle people. And it's the result of extremism. Not President Trump's, but the extremist position of deciding to open our borders, knowing that the cartels will walk through them. And this is another reason why many of us felt trapped. We watched it happen. We watched our cities burn and be destroyed, and you've seen this. Now, that's the world we visit. If we've given ourselves to the Lord Jesus and agreed to be changed by him and be on mission with him, that's the world we're visiting. It's not the world of eternity. In other words, the new heaven and the new earth with the Lord Jesus, where we all, those of us who've given our life to him and we try to abide with him even when abiding is hard, that's where we're headed. But that eternity is at risk to so many people because of the fallen institutions of the church. I'm not spiritually mature enough, nor am I do I have enough influence to call for a meeting of Christian churches to align on the core issues, the issues of redemption, the issues of eternal life, and to begin to label churches like Grace Point Church a non-Christian entity because they're a non-Christian entity. Here's how I know that this particular Grace Point Church, because there's many Grace Point Churches, but this particular Grace Point Church has a pastor named Josh Scott. And I know it's not a Christian church because I have watched the video and now you're going to hear the video. This is Grace Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. Josh Scott wants you to know that he uses he, him pronouns in Nashville, Tennessee. So I know it's not a biblical church because Grace Point and Pastor Josh Scott explains how Jesus didn't die for our sins.
Like Paul got it right. The wages of sin is death. Because at its core, sin is not like cheating on your test when you're in fifth grade and you're still feeling bad about it. Don't do that. But sin at its core is about harm. That's about the harm we're doing to each other in the world, in the escalatory way that the harm that we put into the system spreads like a wildfire into other people. Our sin our choosing of dehumanization and violence, we're very much responsible for Jesus' death. Jesus died not for our sins to pay off God because God was so angry about them, but Jesus actually died quite literally because of sin, because of human violence, because of human hate, because of human harm, because of human fear. He died not to pay for our sins so God could accept us, but in his death, he exposed the bankruptcy and inability of sin to bring about anything that resembles a better world.
Grace Point Church, Nashville, Tennessee, a so-called pastor, Josh Scott, just told you Jesus Christ did not die for our sins. Every gospel disagrees. The Lord himself, at the Last Supper, and Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body, broken for you. Broken for you. Likewise, he took the wine, gave thanks. This is my blood for you, for the forgiveness of sins. He said it. See, this puts eternal life at risk. Because people will hear this and they will believe the lie that Satan wants them to believe. Which goes right back up to this discussion that I'm having with this family member and you are probably not having with yours. Maybe you are. Maybe you're in the midst of these discussions as well. Family members terrified of President Trump. The discussion is this. Which side is closest to God's plan? Because none are righteous. None. Except Jesus, who extends to us his holiness if we agree to be changed by him. There needs to be, and I have not enough influence. I'm certainly not a mature enough Christian to understand how to do this, but there are people who are mature enough and do have enough influence to call together a group of churches, all of them, to announce and to explain which issues are redemption issues. I know, it's the reformation of reformation. It's the coming together of the churches. I know so many have said it, but at least we could label churches like this. That church is not a Christian church. It is a fraud. That pastor is not a pastor. He is a false teacher at best. I like the phrase that this protestia.com uses. They call them impastors. Wow. Man, I have to pray for that guy, don't I? In all of my ranting, I didn't remember he's a spiritual captive. I was in prison and you did not visit me. Thank you, Lord. It's not just Grace Point Church. This is another so-called Christian author. It's a leftist so-called Christian author, Diana Butler Bass, talks here about her reaction to President Trump's re-election.
I was literally having PTSD attack from 2016. Yeah. And I was reliving 2016 in my living room just 2 days ago. I was hyperventilating. I was shaking. I went into my bedroom. I hid under the same exact covers that I was under 8 years ago. I mean, it was terrible. And finally, I said, I can't watch. I'm turning the TV off. I said to my husband, do you think that the blue wall will hold? And he's going, it'll hold. Don't worry. Just try to rest. So I tried to rest. That was impossible. I was just tossing and turning like horrible. He finally came in. I said, what's going on? He said, oh, it's about the same.
It's about the same. Now, you could have, and I have loved ones who are having traumatic PTSD type reactions to President Trump being reelected. I've said we need to face this fully in the Spirit. And when a Christian author is talking about this, where is the statement that God places kings and rulers in position? Now, I'm of the belief that the 2020 election was stolen. I know it was rigged, meaning God allowed it to be rigged. Why? I don't know, but my contention is that God is showing us behind the curtain to say, look how corrupt your system is. Are you going to continue to worship this system and trust this system? But that's me with hopefully a kingdom view. You would think that a Christian author would also offer a kingdom view, but there's far more pressure right now to continue to terrify mainly women. And there has been a making ill of women. And I mean panic attacks. I mean giving people PTSD because they believe that President Trump is going to force them to die if they have an ectopic pregnancy. There is not a state in America where that's the case, nor with a miscarriage. It is not happening. And if it was, wouldn't that scare you? If in fact your government had said, hey, you know what, if you have a miscarriage and the body of the child's still within you, it's going to have to stay there. I mean, yeah, your body might in fact metabolize it, but might not. You might go septic and die in a really horrible way. Sorry. That'd be pretty terrifying, wouldn't it? We must be in the Spirit as we answer these people, our friends, our loved ones. And if you haven't reached out to your family members who are terrified of President Trump, please, please prayerfully do so. Let us not allow Satan to make them terrified of us. So, second clip here from this woman. Diana Butler Bass sets the scene as she watched the election coverage with her husband. Oh, pardon me. This is her hysterical response to that in her own words. Play that, please, Randy.
And he fell asleep. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, I can't stand anymore. I'm going to look on my phone. And I was kind of hoping one of you had texted me, but no, you all copped out. So I opened up my text thread or opened up my phone, and literally on X, 10 minutes before the networks had called it for Trump. And I started screaming and I was shaking my husband in bed. And I was hysterically crying. I will use actually the word hysterical to mean exactly what it means. I was a woman who was in a complete emotional meltdown. And so I said to Richard at the top of my lungs in the middle of the night in the dark, why does America hate women?
Why does America hate women? President Trump gained 2 points with women overall. He gained with black women. He gained with non-college educated women who do not believe that President Trump hates women. Kamala Harris had the influence to say to the state of California, are you insane? You have put male rapists in female prisons, get them out of there. Are you insane? She was vice president, or so were to call her, of the United States, still is, or so were to say. You would think that she, as a woman, a defender of women's rights, would go to Joe Biden and say, I need you to issue an executive order that no federal prison or any prison that receives federal funding will allow men into women's prisons. This is a no-brainer, Joe. She didn't do that. That is not a defender of women. Does Kamala Harris hate women? I don't think so. I think she's a spiritual captive who will do whatever is required to get power. Doesn't help my loved one. The only thing that I think will help my loved one is that she knows when she's ready to extend our discussion, I will have that discussion. And even if she calls me names, I will love her. I won't fight back. I have no name to call her. She's a better person than me. Smarter, better, more accomplished, better at life. She knows this about me. That we grew up very close to one another. I mean, we didn't live far from one another at all. Saw each other a lot. But we were very, very different people. And I was captain of the football team and a well-known wrestler. And I was a very popular kid in school. And she was a very quiet kid in school. So people say, oh, wow, you're related to him? And for a while, she wanted to live that down. So she kind of just didn't talk to me. Just stayed separate. Well, until one day. I'll tell you about that in a second. I'll tell you about that one day in a second. And I think this is about the guy she knows me to be. And probably the people your Trump-fearing family know you to be. We better have this conversation. We better define ourselves, or the devil's going to define us in the eyes of our family members, and in so doing, perhaps shut them off from eternity. And it's our job to pursue the captives, to free them, to pursue the lost. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We've been talking variously through the capture of our institutions. The Christian church needs to come together and to call out what are the redemption issues, what are the salvation issues. These are the things we must believe to have salvation. And I know that's seemingly it. Grace Point in Nashville, Tennessee is not a Christian church. Nothing like it. Their pastor said that Jesus did not come to die for our sins. He is a heretic and worse. Well, he's also a spiritual captive. We need to pray for him. We've been talking about that captured institution. We've been talking about our captured politics, where this binary decision we have, vote for Trump or Kamala Harris, or allow your vote to be dissolved and give power to other people by not voting or doing write-in. That's a system. It's a hellish system, but that's the system where it has rendered some of our family members plainly terrified. I'm not saying scared or concerned or worried. I'm saying terrified of President Trump and finding themselves wondering, how can my loved ones support this man? Such is the case with a dear loved one of mine, and I grew up not far from her. We spent a lot of time together when we were kids. We even went to the same school. And at one point, she sort of disowned me in school because I was a very different person from her. I was at one point captain of the football team, a well-known wrestler. I was, because it was a loud mouth, I was a very popular kid because I found popularity to be safer than not being popular, frankly. It was all a trick. It was just all a show. Just to be safe, that's why I did it. Not proud of it, but that's why I did it. And she was not. So she sometimes avoided me at school. And people would say, oh my gosh, you have the same last name. Are you related to the wrestler football guy? And sometimes she would just say, no. Other times, reluctantly, she'd admit, yeah, there's a family connection, but we're not the same people. That lasted painfully between both of us until a couple of events occurred, where she knew me to be a person who would protect her. I'll tell you those stories in just a bit because they're kind of funny stories. And I know that she remembers them. Back into the news for a second before we get to the Tower Babbling. This is so vital. President Trump again, or I should say President-elect again, President Trump, made a very important promise.
And tonight, I'm also making another promise to protect Americans from government tyranny. As your president, I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency. You know about that?
Of course we know about this. Now, it is really important to call things what they are. We already have digital currency. A wire transfer bank to bank is digital currency. An ACH transfer is digital currency. You go make a payment through QuickBooks, that's digital currency. You take a credit card, that's plastic. Other than that, it's digital currency, and you don't even need the plastic anymore. Just take a picture, put it in your iPhone wallet, now it's purely digital currency. So it's not digital currency they're seeking. We have that. It's the theft of currency. It is to consume it by government, and the goal is this. None shall buy nor sell without the government's permission. I mean, not right off the bat. Satan's very clever. He rolls things out over time, but this is a setup for it. It's not necessarily the mark of the beast and that it's not on our bodies, but it's a paving the way there. It's a normalizing of it. Then there's this, and this has been talked about in elite academic institutions. Sometimes we Americans, we don't spend enough money. Sometimes we go through cycles where we save a whole bunch of money, and that's very, very frustrating for us because we're not participating in the economy as we should. We should be buying a lot more stuff. It's very frustrating to people when they find out I have an iPhone 8. I have no desire to upgrade. I'll eventually be forced to because Apple will stop supporting it. One of their plans is to say to you, we've noticed you've not been participating in the economy, so you can do that, or we'll take some money out of your account. So go buy some stuff. If not, we'll just take the money. The other thing they want to be able to do, even if you stored your money in cash, so-called cash, is apply negative interest rates. Now, negative interest rates can be a borrower pays you to borrow money. That's a form of negative interest rate. You know what else is? That you say to a retiree who's got $700,000 in the bank or $1 million, and the government comes along and says, yeah, you know, the economy's taking a downturn. Even though all that's in cash, that $700,000 is now $550,000. We just made that adjustment for you with our central bank digital currency. Oh, you're going to have to go back to work? Oh, I'm sorry. Gosh, that's really too bad. You have to participate in the economy again. Thank you, President Trump, for promising to not allow it on your watch. Now, please carry through in that promise. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
A little tour through three soundbites in today's Tower of Babbling, starting with a look back in time. Barack Obama read so-called mean tweets on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
Oh, he got him. Woo, zinger, he got Trump, didn't he? You know that was one of the reasons that Trump ran? Interesting. Next soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. Multimillionaire Bill Maher says the economy is just fine.
What I think is a tremendous indictment of Kamala Harris is that she couldn't win an election with the stock market at record highs and unemployment at record lows. You give me that hand, you should be able to win an election. So
she couldn't win the election because Joe Biden refused to actually be the bridge to another generation that he promised to be. Yeah. And I know that you're looking at inflation numbers and saying the rate of inflation has gone down. Bacon is still twice as much as it was. Inflation happened and it's not going away.
Shut up about bacon.
Sure, Bill, it doesn't cost you any money and I don't think you eat bacon. A lot of us do, and it's cost us a bunch of money. And incidentally, on that stock market thing, there's a real problem that when jobs are down, small businesses are wrecked, and the stock market's up, something there ain't right. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, CNN's Bill Ware says President Trump will destroy the entire earth.
Take a look at this temperature chart, Sarah. This year, 2024, according to Copernicus, the European Space Union, will shatter all records, being the warmest ever. And it's the first year where we've blown past the 1.5 degrees Celsius or 3 degrees Fahrenheit limit of the Paris Climate Accords. Every country in the world says we're going to try to hold the line at 1.5. And now we're here, just as maybe the most notorious climate denier in history takes power once again.
Well, every country on Earth except China. Well, and India. Pakistan. Russia. And the continent of Africa. But aside from that, every country. That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
I cannot speak about the election and the aftermath without thinking about this particular loved one. And on a personal note today, let me just finish this off today. My loved one represents yours. In all reality, you probably have loved ones who are terrified of President Trump. And I'm choosing to take this head on, beginning with that text 2 days after the election to say, are you okay? Knowing the response I would receive, and the response was no. And knowing that there'd be rage and anger and I'm pure, and I mean pure terror, to the point of vomiting and being unable to sleep. And this from a woman who is not given to panic. In fact, who saw me through moments where I was panicking for my daughter. Her kids happen to be same-sex attracted. She is convinced that they're going to be purged from society and harmed. And she was telling me that she needs to take a break because she needs to mentally square my support for President Trump with who she knows me to be. And when there's time to speak with her and it's time to reengage in this conversation, one of the things I'm going to remind her is this, that though we grew up right near each other, saw each other all the time, very, very close families, and we're related, there was a time when she sort of disowned me and I her. We just kind of ignored each other at school, just different circles. I had chosen a defensive tactic. Instead of being bullied, my friend Eric, dearly departed, hopefully with the Lord, taught me how to be popular and beginning in sixth grade, taught me the trick of charisma. So I used that to my advantage as a form of insulation and safety and became a popular kid. I mean, it didn't hurt to be captain of the football team, and that really came through popularity. I wasn't the best player by a long shot. I was good, but not near the best. And known as a wrestler and a bigger guy, whatever these things are worth, which is nothing. She was a very quiet kid, kept to herself at a very small circle of friends, and did not like my friends. She didn't know them, but they were the popular kids, and she had in her head that they thought poorly of her. They didn't, but that's what she had in her head. Now, that was all the case until a couple of things happened. One was kind of funny, really kind of funny. She was getting initiated. She'd stepped up into high school, and that would have made me a junior. She was a sophomore. And I was walking to the gym one day for wrestling practice, and I saw out of the corner of my eye that she had been placed into a garbage can. Three boys in the smoking section. This person, my loved one, does not smoke, didn't smoke. They had grabbed her because she was a pretty younger girl, a sophomore girl. They put her in a garbage can. They were going to close the lid and seal her in there for a little while. And I made eye contact with her because she'd been ignoring me. And I saw, through my loved one's eyes, help me. So I walked over to the smokers. I said, hey, she's family. And they said, oh, Herman, we're sorry. We're sorry. Yeah, I know. Oh, here, we'll lift her up. Don't touch her. Do not touch her. And I helped her out. And I turned to the guys in the smoking section and said, hey, guys, I get it. you do an initiation, she's off limits. You put the word out to your friends, she's off limits, or you will deal with me. Cool? And my loved one smiled. It got around a little bit. The second one was far more serious. And this happened at a restaurant we used to go to after cruising. Yep, I'm that generation. We did cruise. The downtown Spokane was shut down, man. There were three streets and the kids in cars everywhere. And everybody had fast cars, just about, seemed. And if you didn't have one, you rode with your friends who had one. And I was down there as a senior, and this was after a football game, and I think it's even one we won. We did not have a good senior year. So I was wearing my Letterman jacket, and I was with my friends wearing their Letterman jackets, and I was standing on this, it's not a drive-through because there's no drive-through window. You stand and eat, you order and eat, and there's some picnic tables, but no indoor seating. It's called Dick's, by the way. And I'm standing there watching a guy stalk my loved one. Trying to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk to him. And then he grabbed her from behind and put his hands on her breasts. And she screamed my name. She screamed my name. Help me. That one didn't end peacefully. I don't say this with a sense of pride. But I went over to the kid and said, she's family. He said, I'm sorry, let her alone. I said, too late. Too late. I'm going to hit you and it's really going to hurt. And if you choose to resist, I'll hit you again and it'll hurt worse. And so I delivered a huge punch. And flat knocked him out. I'm not proud of it. I'm the same guy who sees kids being harmed surgically and chemically and spiritually. That's why I felt I had to vote for President Trump. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understandings, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been a Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.